Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, 6 lines from the top of Daf Yud Aleph. We continue within the topic of mezuzah. Tonu Rabbonan. We have a Tanaic source quoting from the Pasuk. The Pasuk is familiar to us from the Kriya Shema, Bish'orecha. And we learned from this that you need to have a mezuzah in your doorways, gateways, echod sharei botim, the echod sharei chatzeros, whether it be gateways leading to houses or to courtyards, the echod sharei medinos, or gateways leading into population centers, the echod sharei ayoros, or they be gates into cities. Yesh bohen choivas mitzvah lamokoyim. There is an obligation to have a mezuzah there, an obligation to the Almighty. Mishum shenamar uchsavtom al mezuzos beisecho vishorecha. That is the pasuk, that is the commandment for having mezuzos. Omar le Abaye the Rav Safron, hani abuli de mechuza. The gates leading to the city of mechuza. Rashi points out that this was a city that the majority of the population were Jews. My taima lo avdu luhu rabbona mezuzah. Why don't the rabbis see to it that a mezuzah is affixed to those gates? Now, before we continue, you'll notice a triangle in which we attempt to provide answers. These represent answers to this particular question of why there are no mezuzahs on the gates of mechuzah. So Omar Le Rav Safra answers, Hano Chizuk La'akro Dekubi Hu Da'avidi. The gates are built in an arch form, and above them there is a structure, and the gates are designed to be a support for the structure that's built upon them. And it's pointed out that a building that is built upon an archway is considered having a stronger foundation than otherwise. So the gates are not serving as entranceways per se to the city, but rather as supports for that which is built upon them. Amar Leih, so Abaye says back, V'akro dekubi gufa teboi mezuzah. Well, the structures there, they're called akro dekubi, that are built upon them, they should require a mezuzah. Therefore, the gate, walking through the gateway, in that gateway is an access point to the building built upon them, built above. So, let's read that line again, because this question lasts a couple of lines. Omar Leih, Abaye says, V'akru dekubi gufa teboi mezuzah. That structure built upon the gateway, the arched gateway, should require a mezuzah. Do is bo dira l'shomer beisasurim. That structure houses the guard, the prison guard. Deha tanya, we have a Tanaic source that says, Beis haknesses sheyesh bo beis dira l'chazon, a shul that has a dwelling within it for the chazon. The chazan is the person in charge of the shul matters, we'll say. The shul, therefore, that has a base, dira l'chazan ha-kneses, chayeves b'mezuzah, maybe a shul itself, doesn't require a mezuzah from the Torah standpoint, but if the shul, if the synagogue contains a dwelling in it, that does require it to have a mezuzah. So too, with regard to these gates, these gateways should have a mezuzah, as they are the entrance point from which you eventually ascend and arise into the Akro Dekubi that houses the prison guards. They dwell in this location. So it's a dwelling, and so it's a gateway that leads to a dwelling. Why? Then it's therefore they're not considered just say structural considerations for architectural purposes, but rather they are actual gateways leading to a dwelling. Elo Omar Abaye. Abaye then offers his own explanation as to why the gates, the Abuli de Mechuza, the gates of Mechuza, don't have a mezuzah on them. He says, Mishum Sakona. The Gemara will elaborate on this, but we should see the Rashi immediately. Mishum Sakona. Sakona means danger. Shelo Yomar HaMelech Kshofim Asisem B'Shorei Iri. So as to prevent the king from saying that the Jews are conducting some type of black magic in my city's gates. Now, how would that fear arise? So the Gemara continues. Desanya mezuzas yochid nivdekes pamayim b'shavua. Shavua in this context means a 7-year period. So that the phrase means a private mezuzah, mezuzas yochid, the mezuzah owned by a private individual, needs to be checked twice every 7 years. Checked to make sure that the writing that constitutes the mezuzah, that's on the parchment, is the actual mezuzah, is still intact. Vishel Rabim, a mezuzah of the public, Pamayim B'Yovel, twice every 50 years. Rashi adds something very interesting. Pamayim B'Yovel, Rashi is called over Shushal Rabim, matters that are of a public nature, Ein Latria Cholov Harbe. It's important not to burden the public too much. Shem Titrach, if you burden the public with too much, then any given person, a member of the public, will say someone else will take care of it. In this case, someone else will check it out. So we don't have the public being troubled too much. Therefore, you see, once every 50 years. Twice every 50 years. The Omer of Yehuda, Maise ba'artavin echod. Artavin is according to Rashi, Shem Ho'ish, that's his name. It's a name of someone. So there was an artavin, there was a fellow by that name, Shoya Boidek Mezuzos Beshuke Elyo Shel Tzipori. He was checking the mezuzos in the upper marketplace of Tzipori. Umotsoi Kasdor Echod V'notal Mimenu Elev Zuz. And a Kasdor, Rashi says a policeman, probably of the Roman forces, found him and fined him or took from him 1,000 zuz. So what Abaye was saying, that if you're going to put a mezuzah up in the gateway of Mechuza, and then it'll be checked in the course of time, if we're going to assume the context of this source is part of the explanation, so either the checking or the simple affixing it over there will lead to danger as a result of arousing the suspicion of the Gentile authorities suspecting the Jews of practicing some type of black magic with their mezuzos. The Gemara asks, "V'omar Rabbi Elazar, shulchei mitzvah ein nizaykin?" But has it not been said that people that are sent on a mission to perform a mitzvah, there is no damage, there's no danger, therefore why still should there be no mezuzah on the Abuli de Mechuzah, the gates of Mechuzah? The Gemara answers, this concept of shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin, people on a mission to perform a mitzvah are protected from damage. Well, that's hecha de kaviyah hezeko shiny, where the source of danger or of damage is common, that's different. One cannot rely on the concept of shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. Dichtiv, and there's proof to that, and this proof is, in my opinion, the maximum possible proof that could possibly exist. And you'll see what I mean momentarily. The Pasuk says that the Almighty had instructed the prophet Shmuel to anoint David HaMelech as king. And this was going to take place at the time that Shaul HaMelech was still reigning. Naturally, to appoint a replacement king at the time of an existing king, that could be dangerous. If the king gets word of that, so anyone involved in that scheme could be put to death. Shmuel, being charged with this dangerous mission, says to, and who's he saying to? To none other than the Almighty Himself. He says, "Vayomer Shmuel," and Shmuel says, "Eich ele, how can I go on your mission? V'shoma Shaul v'harageni," and Shaul will hear of this and he will kill me. So the Almighty gives him a plan. But what you see here is that the mere fact that Shmuel would have been on a mission, and a mission of the Almighty, Shluchei Mitzvah, he's a mitzvah emissary. He's sent to do a mitzvah by the Almighty Himself. That isn't enough. And therefore the Almighty, if this is so amazing, it's so hard to articulate this, because it's like the Almighty has to work around the danger posed by Shaul HaMelech. It's such an incredible thing. But that's what I meant before, that this is the ultimate proof or the ultimate example of where Kavia Hezekah, where the chances of danger are very great, are common. And that's the case here, where Shaul, getting wind of any scheme to dethrone him, replace him, is an imminent danger. So the Almighty has to give Shmuel a plan, and he says, "Vayomer Hashem," Hashem says, "Eglas boker tikach biyodecha," take a calf, "V'yomarto," and tell him, "Lizboch l'Hashem bosi," that you are on the way to offer a sacrifice. Without that, though, as we said, Shmuel could not have relied on being a shliach mitzvah alone because of Kavia Hezekah. Before we continue further in the Gemara, we have a Noseya topic heading on the side of our Gemara. You see the Noseya, and it says Im Yesh Chiyuv Mezuzah LeBeis HaBokor, which is a refes. We're going to speak about whether a cow stall, a refes bokor, a barn, if you will, where cows dwell, does that type of barn need a mezuzah? The Gemara will mention three scenarios concerning the refes bokor. One, noshim rochatzos ba, it's a place that women wash themselves. Two, noshim miskashtois ba, or where women adorn themselves. We'll see more about this in the Gemara itself, but kishut is a case of women adorning themselves with cosmetics, etc. And three, stam, neutral, neither one of these elements being specified. So now the Gemara. Toni Rav Kahana Kamei de Rav Yehuda. So Rav Kahana states the following source that he had learned in the presence of Rav Yehuda. Beis HaTeven, a straw storage area. Ubeis HaBokar. Ubeis HaEitzim. Ubeis HaOtzoros. Beis HaBokar. Bokar is cattle. And it's a place, a structure that houses cattle, a structure that houses Eitzim. Eitzim is a wood storage area. Ubeis HaOtzoros, or a storage area of wine, oil, or grains. And a person doesn't live in there. Pturim min ha-mezuzah, they are exempt from having a mezuzah. Mipnei shehanoshim ne'osos bohen, because women engage in ne'osos. So my ne'osos, what does that mean? Rochatzos, they bathe in there. So these places are exempt from a mezuzah, according to the source, because it's a place that women also bathe. Now Rashi says, my ne'osos rochatzos, ne'osos lashon hana'o, pleasure. And mishum demokom g'nai hu, it's disparaging Sha'ondos Sham Arumos, the women are standing there unclothed. Ein Kovod Shemayim Leil Sham Mezuzah. It's not the honor of heaven to have there a mezuzah. Omar Lei, we continue in the Gemara Lei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda, upon hearing what Rav Khan is teaching, he says, Taimo de Rochasa. So the exemption is because of their bathing therein. Ha Stamo Chayovin. But if it were neutral, and we're focusing right now on the Beis HaBokar, then it would be obligated. Notice we have we're going to be using geometric forms in the next few lines. On the side, they are explained as tsuros lahavlitzirs. These are geometric forms that are used to highlight contradictions that we will encounter. So right now, Rav Yehuda is pointing out that according to what you're saying, according to your source, then a stam beis habakar means the neutral beis habakar, where it's not specified that they are rochatzos, that they bathe there. So chayofen, it would be obligated, v'hotanya, but have we not learned refes bakar ptura min hamezuzah? Says that a barn, a cow stall is exempt from a mezuzah. Ela my neosos, so Rav Yehuda explains, what is neosos? Miskashtos. V'hochi kotonim miskashtos. Rashi says they apply perfumes to themselves over there. And the source is to read as follows. V'afalpi shanoshim miskashtos bohen pturin. That I would have thought that the barn in which women apply their perfumes is like a base dira, it's like a dwelling. So the source tells us it's not considered a dwelling, and hence it's exempt from a mezuzah. The pasuk says, "Al mezuzos beisecho visharecho," on your homes and your gates, implying where different places that serve as a dwelling. But the barn, even though women apply perfumes there to themselves, it's not considered a dwelling. Now, that was Rav Yehuda's approach. Omar le Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana responds, V'shehanoshim miskashtos bohen pturin. Is that really so, that those places are exempt? V'atanya, refes bokar ptura min mezuzah, v'shehanoshim miskashtos bo chayoves b'mezuzah. This source tells us that if it's a barn in which women adorn themselves, perfume themselves, it is obligated in mezuzah, noticing the house and its highlighting of the contradiction. Ela mai isloch lemeimar. Well, according to you, Rav Kana says to Rav Yehuda, what are you going to have to say? Miskashtos tanoi hi. The issue of a place wherein noshimar miskashtos, you're going to have to acknowledge that it's a machlokes tanoim. In other words, the two sources that we've just heard with the house markings in them, Rav Yehuda will acknowledge the sources are not contradictory, but rather they represent two different Tanaic opinions. Well, l'didi nami, regarding my position as well, stamo tanoihi. And we will see a source now featuring this machlokes tanoim. So we're going to have a source. Before we go further, let's just review what we've had. Rav Kahana stated a source from which we inferred, from which Rav Yehuda we saw inferred that stamo stam refes boker is chayeves, and we had a source that said refes boker is potter. So as far as Rav Kahana is concerned, those two bow ties represent a machlokes, a Tanaic controversy. Just like Rav Kahana points out to Rav Yehuda that according to your approach to the refes boker, the case of miskashtos is a machlokes tanoim. The Gemara now presents a Tanaic source in which there will be a machlokes tanoim, and you can see it's a frame section about 3.5 lines long. Following it, Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda will both restate this source with its machlokes tanoim, reflecting their positions, and that will take a number of additional lines, but in the upcoming lines of Gemara, you'll see that we have a double underline, Rav Kahana Mataritz Letameh, and then a few lines later, There's a base where it says Rav Yehuda Metarets L'Tamei. So we've so far heard Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda's approaches to the sources regarding the Refes Bokar, each one having their unique approach to the matter. So now we continue with the Gemara, first with the Tanaic source featuring the Machlokas Tanaim, and then upon that you'll have Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda interpreting the source. In each case we frame the section off because it's their version of the Tanaic source. So we continue. Desanyo. Beisecho. Beisecho hamiyuchad loch. Beisecho is from the pasuk concerning mezuzah, and it indicates a house that is miyuchad loch. It's specified for your dwelling. Prat. This comes to exclude a number of different structures that we've seen before, and they are the Beis HaTeven, Beis HaBokar, Beis HaEitzim, Beis HaOtzaros, Shepturin Min HaMezuzah, V'yesh Mechayven. Now, this we've dashed underline, and it's pointed out this is the Machlokas Tanoim. The first approach says they're Potter, and this V'yesh Mechayven says that these places are expected to have a mezuzah. Be'emes Omru, and in truth it was said, Beis HaKisei, a bathroom, Beis HaBurski, a room, a structure, a facility for use for tanning leathers. In the tanning of leathers, it's first of all very foul, there's a very foul odor there, and in other Gemaras you actually see that the skins are placed in a solution containing dog dung. So a place like that, we will see here, is exempt from a mezuzah. What else? Ubeis HaMerchatz, a bathhouse. Ubeis HaTvila, a place where people immerse themselves. A mikveh, if you will, a structure that houses a mikveh. V'shanoshim ne'osos bohen p'turin min ha-mezuzah. Again, the expression ne'osos comes up. We'll leave that for later on in the Gemara. All of these places are exempt from a mezuzah. Rav Kahana mitaretz l'tamei, Rav Yehuda mitaretz l'tamei. Each one, Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda, explain this source we just read according to their respective approaches to the topic, and it will become evident. Rav Kahana mitaretz l'tamei. Rav Kahana, he is the one that said that the stam bathhouse would be a stam refes bokar. That is, the stam, the neutral case of refes bokar, would be a machlokes tanoim. So, Rav Kahana mitaretz l'tamei beisecho beisecho hamiyuchad loch. A house that's specified for your dwelling is obligated in having a mezuzah. Prat lebeis hateven, lebeis habokar, lebeis haetzim, lebeis haotzoros, shepturin min hamezuzah. Bistam. Included in this list, you can see there's also the beis habokar in the stam fashion is exempt. V'yesh shemechayven bistam. And there are those that say if it's a neutral beis habokar, then it's obligated. Be'emes Omru, it has been said in truth that Beis HaKisei, Beis HaBurski, Beis HaMerchatz, Beis HaTvila, V'shanoshim ne'oisois bohen, Umay ne'oisois roi chatzois, if these places house an area where women bathe, then p'turin min ha-mezuzah, they are exempt from a mezuzah. Well, if you're going to say that ne'osos means bathing, well, I hochi hainu merchots, it then would be redundant because merchots was mentioned also. Merchots is a bathhouse. So the Gemara says there's no redundancy. Ashmina merchots d'ram, ashmina merchots d'yochid. The source concerns two kinds of merchots, a public merchots and a private merchots. The Sarta Chamina, Merchots de Rabim, the Nofish Zuame, had the source made reference only to one type of bathhouse, I would have thought that the exemption extends only to a public bathhouse. Nofish Zuame means, Nofish means a lot of Zuame of foulness, of dirt. Avo Merchots de Yochid, alo Nofish Zuame, but a private bath, a private bathhouse, a private area where one bathes. It doesn't have a lot of filth there. I would have thought, without a source that makes a double reference, I would have thought that would be obligated in having a mezuzah. Chomash Molon, so the source reveals that even the private bathhouse is exempt. For Behuda, Metaritz Lehem. But before we go on, I hope it's clear that you see how Rav Kana brought out from this, from his understanding of the source, that the Stam Beis HaBokar is a Tanaic controversy. And now we see how Rabbi Yehuda treats the source, reflecting his approach. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Hochi Katoni. Let's read that phrase again. Rabbi Yehuda Metaritz Letamei. Rabbi Yehuda explains the source according to his approach. And Hochi Katoni thusly. Beisecha, the Pasuk says, Beisecha, Beisecha Miuchad Loch. That is what's obligated in a mezuzah. Prat lebeis atem beis apokar beis oetz beis osor she pturin min hamezuzah afilu miskashtois. Even if in one of these structures, and we can emphasize the beis apokar if you like, even if women perfume themselves within v'yesh mechayven b'miskashtos, and there are those that if the beis apokar is used as a place where women perfume themselves, so it becomes like a dwelling, and therefore they hold it's chayav in a mezuzah aval stam in the neutral beis habokar divrei hakol poter. Everyone will agree that it's exempt, and you'll notice that the reason we squiggle underline this is because this too was part of Rav Yehuda's approach earlier, where if it's miskashtos, if it's stam, that is a beis habokar that's stam, everyone would agree is exempt. Rav Kahana spoke about the beis habokar stam as being a tanei controversy. As far as Rav Kahana was concerned, the only situation where there would be unanimity as being exempt is if it's a place that the women bathe in, as opposed to the stam case. Rav Yehuda will say notches one is everything up one step higher, whereby if it's a stam beis habokar, that's not unanimous exemption there, that would be a machlokes. Let us just restate that. Whereas Rav Kahana says that in the case of rochatzos, only that case there's unanimous exemption. Rav Yehuda notches things up one and says that even the stam case of the beis habokar is going to be a unanimous exemption. Only if the beis habokar has some type of dwelling aspect to it, namely women perfume themselves, then Rav Yehuda is willing to say that would be a machlokes tanoim. We continue. Be'emes amru beis hakise beis haburski beis hamerchutz beis hatfila afal pi shehanoshim niskashtos bohen Turin min hamezuzah. In these structures, even though women perfume themselves, because they contain a lot of filth in them, namely the bathroom, the beis haburski, the tanner's place, the bathhouse or mikveh, even though women adorn themselves there, they're patur min hamezuzah because mishum denofish zomi, there is a lot of filth. As far as the first list of places, they're not places of filth. A straw facility or beis habokar or a wood storing facility, those are relatively speaking clean places. So there, if the women are miskashtos, we saw a machlokes tanoim. The Gemara continues with a question: Ula Rav Yehuda, stamo divrei hakol poter? Is that really so? That a stam, the neutral case of refes bokar, would be unanimously exempt from a mezuzah. The Ha Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source, starting with the word from the pasuk Bisharecha, and we should point out before we get too far into the source that the main question is posed right at the outset. The last line of this source, you'll notice four words from the end of the line, a brackets appears, and the balance of the source is tangential as far as the question is concerned. And you will see immediately how Rav Yehuda's claim that the Stam Refes Bokor is unanimously exempt cannot be upheld. V'hot Tanya, the source says Bisharecha. Again, a quote from the Pasuk, your gateways. Echot Sharei Botim, whether it be house gates, V'echot Sharei Chatzeros, or courtyard gates, V'echot Sharei Medinos, or provincial gates, V'echot Sharei Ayoros, or municipal gates, V'refes, V'lulin, U'matbein, V'otzoros Yain, V'otzoros Shemen. And we emphasize the word refes with our dashed underline. Really, that's what we're concerned with here. Lulin are chicken coops. Matbein would be a straw storage area. Otsoros Yanotsoros Shemen are storehouses of wine and oil. Chayovin b'mezuzah. So here we have a case of a refes bokar, stam, a stam refes bokar, and it's obligated having a mezuzah. So if we skip the bracketed section, you can see after the source it says tufta. This is a repudiation of a refutation of Rav Yehuda's point that Stam Refes Boker everyone agrees is exempt, when you see that cannot be maintained. Here you have a source featuring a Refes Boker Chayavim Mezuzah. The Tosfos points out that it's you can't give the maybe the obvious answer that you would have wanted to give, that it's talking about a case of miskashtos, where we saw Rav Yehuda saying that there would be opinions that say that it's chayev, and that's because we're talking about a place that's particularly dirty. You can look at that, the last Tosfos on this omit that on Yud Aleph omit Aleph that says that. Now we continue with our bracketed section that we skipped, having read what we've seen already. The source raises a question. Yochol shenimar be'af. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Beis sharach sadru mepeses. Should I include in being obligated these structures as well? A beis shar is a type of booth that is positioned at a gate entrance. Rashi says at the top, Bayis Kotten Sha'isin Lifnei Shar Chotzer. It's a little booth that's placed at the entrance to a courtyard. And Rashi adds, V'hakol Oisin Oise Kapandaria. And it's a situation where everyone uses it as a kapandaria, as a shortcut. So with this Beis Shar type booth, or an achsadra, is a porch that's primarily open. There's an overhang and some pillars that support the overhang, but besides that, it's primarily an open type structure that's built usually at the front of a house. That's an achsadra. And a mirpeses is a balcony off of which a number of apartments open. So would the mirpeses require a mezuzah? This balcony, let's say the entranceway leading to this balcony. So Talmud Lomar Bayis, Ma Bayis Miyuchad Ladira, just like a house is something that's specifically for dwelling, Yatsu Elu She'ein Miyuchadim Ladira. These things are not specified for dwelling. Yochol Shenimar Be'af Beis HaKisi Beis HaBurski Beis HaMerchatzu Beis HaTvila. Should I include in obligation of mezuzah a bathroom, a tanner's place, or a bathhouse, or a mikveh? Tamalomar bias. Once again, we cite the reference in the pasuk to a house. Ma bias asu lechavod af kol asu lechavod. Just like a house has this additional characteristic, in addition to being miyuchad ledira that we highlighted with our first double underline, it's also asu lechavod. It's a place that's built for honorable purposes. Af kol ha'asu l'chavod. So to anything that is built for kavod, for honor, yatsu elu, to the exclusion of a bathroom, a beis haborski, a bathhouse, yatsu she'ein asuyin l'chavod. They're not structures that are associated with respect and honor. Yochol shenimar be'af harabayis. Should I include in a mezuzah obligation the gates leading up to the Temple Mount? V'halishochos, the chambers, vazoros, and the courtyards that are associated with the Beis HaMikdash. Talmud Lomar, bias. Again, the quote from the Pasuk, the word bias, ma bias shu choil, just like a house is something of a mundane nature, a common nature, af kol shu choil, so to anything else that has that aspect characteristic to it, yotsu elu, to the exclusion of the Temple Mount and its structures, shehein kodesh, that they are sanctified. So, as you look over this source and look at the double underlines, we have featured on the side the Nosei Mivneh featuring the double underline, where we had written Mahim Hatchunos Shabayis Shechayav Mizuzos. What are the characteristics of a house that make it obligated in having a mizuzah? So if you scan what we've just seen, it would have to be Miuchad L'Dira, Asui L'Chavod, and Choyol. After all is said and done, the Gemara points out Tufta. We have refuted through this source that which Rav Yehuda had said, that everyone would agree that the Stam Refes Boker is exempt. Not so, but rather Stamo is a Machlokes Tanoim. Toni Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamei Derava. So Rav Shmuel teaches the following Tanaic source, Shisha Sha'arim Pturim Min HaMezuzah. There are six gateways that would be exempt from a mezuzah. And most of these we've seen already. Beis HaTeven, Beis HaBokor, Beis HaEitzim, Ubeis HaOtzoros, V'Sharei HaModai. Sharei HaModai are gates that are dome or round shaped. V'Shar She'eno Mekura, and a gate that doesn't have a cross beam, a lintel to it, just two side posts, and a door built onto those two side posts, but nothing. Mekura means a roof or something going across the top. V'shar she'eno gavoa asara, or a very, very low gate entranceway that lacks 10 tvachim. If you notice, we have a counting or a numbering that appears in this source. We got to 7. The opening of the source mentioned 6. Amar lei, so Rava, in whose presence this source had been taught, Rava reacts, posachto b'shisha, you opened with mentioning that there would be 6 exemptions, v'salkis b'shiva, and you conclude with 7. Amar lei, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, who stated the source, he also answers and says, Shar HaModai, the issue of the Shar HaModai, the fifth example, Tanoi, he is a machlokes Tanoim, the Sanya. So we'll have a Tanaic source that features a domed or rounded archway. Archway would be the best, an archway, whether it's chayev or not, is a machlokes Tanoim, the Sanya, Kipo, an archway, Rabbi Meir Mechayev Mezuzah, Vachachomim Potrin. This issue is going to be the subject of the next 8-9 lines of Gemara, and on the side of the Gemara we have as our Nosei Din Mezuzah BePesach BeTzuras Kippah, the law regarding mezuzah at an entranceway that's arched, and there will be a Machlokes Tanoim I Amrinon Chokikin LaHashlim. Do we say that there will be a Tanei controversy, whether we say that we etch out in our mind's eye, imagine something carved out in order to create the necessary dimensions. So we continue back in the Gemara text. Kippah, we're at the beginning of the Tanaic source where it was pointed out that the issue of an archway is a machlokes tanoim. So Kippah, the archway, Rabbi Meir Mechayev Mezuzah, V'chachamim Potrin. Rabbi Meir says an archway is obligated in having a mezuzah, and the Chachamim say not so. They say it's exempt. The Shavan, there's agreement. Shim Yesh Biragla Asara. If you have an archway where the side posts remain at 90 degree angles to the ground, meaning straight up, they're vertical side posts for a distance of 10 handbreadths, 10 tfachim, after which the arch, it starts to arch in, starts the curvature starts. That kind of archway, everyone agrees, shechayeves b'mezuzah. And the Gemara now makes a point, and there's a long point here. Amar Abaye, the phrases that we've double underline, de kule alma, points of agreement, and lo nechliku ela, the point of disagreement. So there are two points of agreement. De kule alma, number one, gavoa asora v'ein biragla shloisha v'lav klum hi. It's totally exempt. What we've described here, you can see we have a diagram, and it's marked with a star aleph, and it shows you a entranceway. It does have the minimum four tefach requirement at the base. However, the height of straight sides is less than three hand breaths. That means within three hand breaths, it already starts to arch in. Even though it has the minimum height requirement of 10 tefachim, nevertheless, it doesn't have any, we'll say, legally recognizable uprights. When it's less than 3 tefachim, it's considered as if the curvature starts at the ground literally, because less than 3 tefachim is considered what we say lovud. Lovud means attached to the ground. So this is not a point of disagreement. Everyone agrees, even Rabbi Meir agrees that this would be exempt. Inami, a second situation. Yesh biragla gimel v'yana gavo asora. That would be illustrated in star bays, where you see the height of the upright is 3 tefachim. However, the total archway height is less than 10 tefachim. So it's lacking, even though it will measure across at the base 4 tefachim of width, nevertheless, it's lacking the minimum height of entranceway. And in both of these cases, we say they agree that it's v'lav klum hi, no mezuzah obligation. Lo nechliku elo v'govoa asor v'yesh baraglo gimel v'ein barach bo dalid. That would be where you see star gimel, the printer's picture. The archway reaches a height of 10 tefachim. There are side posts that are vertical for 3. However, after the 3 tefach mark, it starts to curve in. And at that point, the width is less than 4 tefachim. That's the main point here. That after 3 tefachim of height, it starts to curve in, the archway starts to curve in, and you are lacking at that point the 4 tefach width. So that the issue now is, do I view the wall where the curvature takes place as if it's cut away, creating in your mind's eye a 4 tefach width all the way up till the 10 tefach mark? So let's read that line again. At the beginning of the line, v'ein b'rach bo dalid, v'yesh bo lochuk. Lochuk is to carve out. There's wall there. As you can see in the illustration, there is wall there, wall material, that you could carve out, la'shlimo l'arbo'o, in which you'd be able to create. If you were to actually carve it out, you would have 4 tefachim of width all the way up to the 10 tefach mark. Well, in that case, do we view it in your mind's eye as if it's carved out or not? So, Rabbi Meir, sovar chukikin lahashlim, Rabbanan savri ein chukikin lahashlim. Rabbi Meir says, you do view it that way, and the Rabbanan say, no. And that was the point of controversy regarding the kippah featured in the Tanaic source above. Tonu Rabbanan, beis hakneses ubeis ha'isho beis ha'shutfin chayeves b'mezuzah. A Beis HaKnesses is a shul. Beis HaIsha is a place that a woman dwells in. And Beis HaShutfin, home owned by partners, jointly owned home. Chayeves b'mezuzah is obligated in having a mezuzah. The Gemara asks, Pshita. Is that not obvious? So, Ma'u D'Teimo, I might have thought, regarding point two, Beisecha v'lo Beisah. if you were to stay strictly attached to the grammar, it would be your house and not her house. As far as point three is concerned, your house, v'lo botehem, your house in the singular and not their house in the plural, would have excluded a home owned by partners. Komash malon, this source tells us that it is obligated. Well, v'eima hochinami, well, say in fact that it is exempt, like the grammar would have indicated. Omar kro, while the pasuk includes them all the same. L'man yirbu yimeichem v'yimei b'neichem. This pasuk appears right after the Torah's commandment of having a mezuzah, and the pasuk says that the mezuzah is there in order for you to have long life, you and your children. Hani bo chayi v'hani lo bo chayi. Would you say that men and single owners require long life and women and partners don't? Obviously, women require long life, partners desire long life, so therefore they are included in the mezuzah obligation. Ela beisicha lomali. Well, if beisicha is there and it would come to exclude something, what's it coming to exclude? After all, beisicha or beisecha is in a certain limitation mode, your house and not something else. So the Gemara says it's not here to exclude something, it's rather here to teach us another law of mezuzah. On which side of the side posts, or two side posts, which side to put onto which to affix the mezuzah. Hidda Rava, based on Rava's teaching. The Omar Rava, Derech bi oscha, v'chi okar inish kare, diamina okar beresha. The word beisecha is explained as referring to bi oscha, your entrance to the house. Now when you are walking and you pick up your foot to walk into a house, just imagine we're standing at the entranceway and you're now going to walk into the house. Which foot do you pick up first? You pick up your right foot. That's what means v'chi okar inish karo, and he picks up, literally uproots his foot, but he picks it up from the ground to start walking. The amina okareshi, it's the right foot that you lift first. Hence, the mezuzah will go on to the right doorpost as you are entering a structure. Tanya idach, and we have another Tanaic source. It says, "Beis haKnesses uBeis haShutun uBeis haIsha mitamen b'negoyim." These three structures that we mentioned before, they are subject to tumas negoyim. Negoyim is an affliction, like you have a skin affliction known as tzaras. There's also something called nige botim, a type of tzaras that affects houses where the walls become discolored, and that could result in tuma. So this source says that these three structures are subject to tumas negoyim. The Gemara says pshita. Well, it's obvious that they're structures. They're considered houses of some sort. So they're obviously subject to negoyim. The Gemara says, "Mal de tema." I would have thought without this source, if I just had the posuk upon which to rely, I would have thought the posuk says, "Uvo asher loy habayis." The posuk is a reference to the kohen who rules on the discoloration, whether it constitutes negoyim or not. It says, "And he shall enter asher loy habayis." And the word "lo" literally says his house. So I would have thought loy v'lo lo. Again, in the grammatical sense, lo means him in the masculine to the exclusion of a woman. Lo v'lo lahen. Lo is in the singular to the exclusion of beis hashulchan, which is a jointly owned structure. Komash malon. Therefore, the source tells me that even though it's a woman's house, even though it's a partnership owned house, it is subject to negoyim. V'yem al-chinami. Well, say like we suggested, that in fact they are excluded from being afflicted by negoyim. Omar kro, the veis eretz achuzaschem. The pasuk goes on to be inclusive, meaning any structure in your land. Elo loy lomali. So what does the lo word come to exclude, or what does it come to teach me? It teaches me something else. In other words, you'll see there's a message in the pasuk that's not really exclusionary in the sense that we have seen just now, but rather something else. And it tells me, mi shemiyached beiso lo, someone who is stingy, who isolates everything concerning his house, all his possessions, for himself. And that kind of house is subject to Negoyim, and this does exclude, skip the bracketed section for a moment, skip the line, the beginning of the line, you see, Prat, Lamashil, Kelov, Lachirim, to the exclusion of someone who does loan his wares to others. Someone who is generous and shares his possessions with others would be, exempt, or a type of called preventive medicine, preventive practice from being afflicted by Negoyim. So let's go over this line that we skip. Mishimiached Beisalo She'eno Rotzel Ashil Kelov. Someone who doesn't want to loan his vessels to others. Viomer She'ein Lo. He claims, "Oh, you, I don't have what you're asking for." Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mefarsimo. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will reveal that in fact the person was behaving stingily and not that he didn't actually have. Kishemefana Es Beisa. When he comes to clear out his house, because the practice was that when a kohen would come to rule on the house, so as to save the vessels from also being afflicted by the tumah, which would have happened had they remained in the afflicted house. So the owner, in the interest of saving his articles, he puts everything out on the street. So what happens is that all of his wares become exposed to the public eye. And he who was claiming all along, "I don't have," he's now revealed, he is exposed as being a phony. And he really does have it. Someone like that is subject to Negoyim. Prat lemashil kelev lachem, to the exclusion of someone who behaves in a sharing and generous fashion, he will be resilient to Negoyim. Question. Ubeis haknesses mi metame ben Negoyim, is a shul, a house of worship, subject to Negoyim? Thought Tanya, we have another Tanaic source. We're calling this Beis, where on the first wide line of the Gemara, you notice we have an Aleph. This source features a shul as well, and it says, Thought Tanya, yochol yu bote knesios, bote midrash of Tam Negoyim. Could it be that shuls and study halls, Torah study halls, are subject to Negoyim? Tamud lomar, uvo asher lo habayis. That's the pasuk in the context of Negoyim. Mishem yuchod lo. Yotzu elu shein yuchodim lo. This source says that Ashiloba is a house that is of a private nature. Yuchod lo, it's reserved for him, as opposed to Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMetz, which are public facilities. So the pasuk would seem to say that such places are exempt or resilient from Negoyim, i.e. not subject to Negoyim. Loi Kashi. Now you notice we have a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara Dawar Nosei Mivne heading, we've included we've written on the side Nige Botim, and the diamond Yishuve Stira Bein Shnei Abraisus Imshach Nigoyim Beis. These are resolutions concerning the sources and their being and shuls being subject to Negoyim. So the first diamond, first resolution, Lo Kashi Ha Rabbi Meir Ha Rabbonon. The issue is a machlokis tanoim the sanyo beis haknesses sheish bo beis dira lechazon haknesses chayv mezuzah, a shul that has a dwelling in it for the chazon haknesses, for the one in charge of the shul and its goings on. That's the chazon, as opposed to a cantor, let us say, that he's the one in charge of the goings on of the shul, and he dwells in the shul, so it's chayev, the shul is chayev in a mezuzah. V'she'ein bo beis dira, let's say it's a shul that's exclusively for worshipping, and it doesn't house a dwelling, so Rabbi Meir mechayev v'chachomim potrin, and that would be the machlokes tanoim, and that's what the two sources, the aleph and beis sources above, regarding the shul, represent. Another approach says that both sources are within the opinion of the Rabbonan. The source that says that a shul is chayav in a mezuzah, or that is a shul that is subject to Negoyim, we shouldn't confuse, we mentioned mezuzah earlier, but here we're talking about Negoyim, so a shul that has a beis dira in it is subject to Negoyim, and a shul that doesn't have a beis dira in it is not subject. And the third approach is both sources are dealing with a non-beis dira shul. V'ha de krochim, v'ha de kfarim. Krochim are large communities. There, the shul is built for the world population. Being it's a large community, people from all over are coming in. So that is something that's not subject to negoyim. There's no clear owner of it. However, ha de kfarim, the kfar is a village, and it's clear that the village owns the shul, so it's considered, as Rashi says, like a beis hashutfin. It's like a jointly owned facility, and we saw before that a beis hashutfin is subject to negoyim. The Gemara in our next year will continue analyzing that those two points that we've just mentioned, and they are highlighted with the bow tie shape here, and more than halfway down another one appears featuring the Krochim and the Kforim, and the following those will be analyzed in the following Gemara. Before we conclude, let us just remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.